It's the 7th of May, and we are going to be continuing with options. Finish them today. Maybe skim through some of the things about options. But we want to get the futures. We definitely want to finish up futures today. And futures, it turns out, are actually useful, where options are just gambling. Futures are useful, but that doesn't mean they're not dangerous. Chapters 9 and 10 are due. 18 is a bonus. It's take you 10, 15 minutes, folks. Sit down with the formula sheet. Very easy 5 points, easiest 5 points you'll have all semester. Chapter 11 is not that hard either. Just check out some mutual funds and their standard deviations and their returns and see which ones have the better returns relative to the standard deviation. And then chapter 15 is actually pretty straightforward also. We'll go over that today. When's the final? Got the syllabus? Thursday, May 29th. Right? So it's the day before graduation. We're one of the last people to take our finals. I think it's 8 o'clock, actually, but I'll stick around all morning.
A.M.?
Yeah. But because we're in the 9:30, it's the weird time. But I will stick around all morning. But if you cannot make that day, contact me as soon as possible, because there's nobody. Everybody has to take the final. That's state law. And so nobody gets to not take it. I mean, you're required. You can't waive somebody's taking of the file. Some professors do. We're not allowed. But you can do it online, or you can contact me, take it another time. The week before, Monday, I'm giving a final. You can take it then. Tuesday, I'm giving a final. You can take it then. So just contact me if you can't make it Thursday. 4%. We were up to 7. Should we have sold in May and gone away?
Yes.
Oh, well. We didn't do it. Still, 4%
is
not bad.
True,
well, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? If enough people believe that they need to sell in May and go away, then the best thing to do is wait until May and buy when they sell.
Yeah, because looking at First Solar, it was like 50%.
But we knew when we bought First Solar that it's going to be a volatile stock, right? The volatility is real. And so should we be concerned that a company like First Solar is down it's not down. We bought it. You know, it's way up from when we bought it. But should we be concerned that it's gone from 50% up down to 33% up? Not with a company like First Solar. This is a very volatile company. Now, I'm concerned about Procter & Gamble. I do not understand. Probably it has to do with the global economy and the dollar getting stronger, which makes it harder for them to sell stuff outside the United States, which they do. They sell a lot of stuff outside the United States. But that's the one that concerns me. And Dave Converti had a pretty good comment about Caterpillar. What did you say about Caterpillar? You sat in on their earnings call?
Well, yeah, I said we should take it off because on their call they said that it's not going to be a good year.
No, it's not going to be a good year. Dollar strong, and the global economy outside the United States has been slowing, and they sell a lot of tractors and bulldozers and stuff outside the United States. But wouldn't that be a good time, in my humble opinion, to buy for the long term? That's why there's coffee and tea, and some people like cocoa. All right, questions, thoughts, ideas? Now, we had gone through options, and I know options are very confusing, so why don't we just slide through them again? But first, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? I showed you the options joke, right? Anyway, so what kind of joke do you want? Do you like grossology jokes?
Yeah, I do
political
jokes.
Political jokes? Well, you know, the funny thing is, it's hard to make a joke about Obama. He's so serious. And yeah. I got lots of Bill Clinton jokes, but you can't tell those in class. Okay. You can't tell Bill Clinton jokes in class. But I got a George Bush joke. Did you hear that George Bush was really, really excited and happy? He was really proud of himself. You see, for Christmas, Dick Cheney gave him a puzzle. And he was so excited. He finished it last weekend. And on the box, it says 2 to 4 years. 2 to 4 years. Okay. But then he was sad. He was very sad because the presidential library in Crawford burned down. And both books were lost. And he hadn't finished coloring the second one yet. So those are George Bush jokes. There's lots more of that. Okay, so let's quick. You guys didn't like that one either. All right, so what's an option, folks? What is an option? Tell me in your own words. You don't have to be right. You're reading it. It's gambling. You're gambling that a stock is going to go up if you buy the call, and then you can turn around and call it away from somebody at a lower price than what it's sold for. Or you're gambling that the stock is going to go down, and then you can't speculate. I'm sorry, we don't use the word gambling. We say speculating. You're speculating that the price is going to go down, and then you can sell it to somebody at a higher price. And that's what options are all about. And they get very, very confusing because there's an option to call, option to buy, which is a call option. There's an option to sell, which is a put option. And we went through all these slides, and probably you're going to want to go through them again. There's an online presentation. I record the lectures, but I'm going to ask you very general questions about these and the problems that are on the back sheet, which we may do one of them, are not going to be on the exam. So we went through these on Tuesday, and we found that options are very confusing, and they're one of the hardest parts of the Series 7 stockbroker exam, and they are also gambling. They are speculating. All right, so we discussed the strike price, the exercise date, the exercise style, and then we took a look at some options. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you look at the bottom of the sheet, I'm going to ask you to, let's go to MarketWatch, because I think MarketWatch does a much better job. MarketWatch, as opposed to, Yahoo. So, but MarketWatch is not as good as individual stocks. But let's take a look at, we looked at Google. Did we look at Google? And we pick Google, and then if you pick options, can you see that? All right. Then what I want you to do, if you look at the assignment sheet, now obviously Google has moved around, but if you look at the assignment for stock options at the bottom, it is a bonus assignment. You don't have to do it. But what I ask you to do is record the price of the June 2016. Now, these are the May. These are going to be expiring in about a week or so. But the third Friday. No, that'll be, be next week. So let's close that and go look at the June options. So what price did I use? 550, which is good because it's close to 550. Oops, see, this is bad. Look at that. It's bad data. Look at all the data's gone. Darn it. How about, let's try July. It doesn't matter which one you use. Let's try July and see if we got good data. Yeah, we got better data for July. So now, what I want you to do, I used 550 because the price has gone down a little bit. But what I want you to do is record the, I used 550. Yeah, that's not a bad one. Record the price today of the call option, right? Or put options, up to you, for 550. And then I ask you to do it 1 week later. But what would be a good thing to do would be to check it every day. Check it throughout the week and watch how these things just bounce around like crazy and see how much you would have gained or earned. And then I ask you to do it for Johnson & Johnson. Now, why did I pick Google? Why did I pick Johnson & Johnson? Google's much more volatile. It's a tech company. Johnson & Johnson, a defensive medical company. And so you should see the options for Johnson & Johnson much less volatile. You should see much less volatility where a company like Google is going to see much more volatility. And then I ask you, what do you think? Would you want to do this? And maybe you get excited about the fact that, wow, what is it today? It's 16, tomorrow it's 20, and the next day it's 8. You know, that's what you're going to see. Yes? I'm sorry, did I say Procter & Gamble? I used Johnson & Johnson for the presentation. I'm sorry. On the website for the online students is Johnson & Johnson. Procter & Gamble. Or Johnson & Johnson, or ExxonMobil, or any huge, stalwart, blue-chip company that has its roots, GE, any of those companies. I want you to do one of those, and then do a tech company. You could use Apple, you could use Google, Tesla. Have you seen Shake Shack yet? Have I showed you Shake Shack? This one's a winner, I'll tell you folks. This sucker scares me to death. But people are buying it. It's supposedly fabulous burgers. But I like Hodad's. I don't eat burger that much. Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. Ugh. See, they've made Yahoo. They just keep destroying it. How's that for a PE, folks? How's that for a PE?
Wow.
They sell burgers. Expensive burgers. 2.5 billion market cap, yeah. They're supposedly very good burgers. Yeah, they started in Boston, Manhattan, now they're moving west. There's one in Las Vegas, and they're going to come out to California. But this is the new, poof, I don't want anything to do with it. All right, now, continuing. Have I lost you on options yet? Well, let me see if I can continue losing you some more. We've discussed options as if they were traded like stocks, where you could buy 5 or 7 or 15 or 120. But that's not how they work. Every option is a contract which represents 100 shares of underlying security. In this case, we're doing stock options. So there are no odd lot options. When you buy one contract, you're essentially controlling 100 shares. So even though it says the option costs $2 or $16 or $10, you have to multiply by 100. You understand? Because you're controlling that many shares. So you buy one contract at $5, you actually cost you 500. So the listed price is 5, then one track will cost you 500. If you buy two contracts, 1,000, and the like. And so, what is the premium? The premium is that amount that we bought, that $5 that we paid times 100. Remember, every now, whenever we look at the premium, we look at the price, we're always multiplying by 100. The seller, the maker, the writer receives the premium immediately and gets to keep it whether or not the option is ever exercised. Did I mention that most often? To make it more confusing, the term premium is also used in the more precise manner when valuing the option. For this reason, most people always refer to the price of the option instead of the premium of the option, even though that's the technical term. The premium is what it's actually called, the option premium, the $5 that you see. You saw $16 quoted, right, for the $5.50. That's the premium. But people don't use the term premium. They use the term premium when they talk about the time premium. So what they usually say is the option price. But really, that is the premium. It's called the option premium, but everybody refers to it as the option price. Well, what's the price of the option? What's the market price of the option? The term is really premium. When people use, that we're going to get to it in a minute, the time premium. When they use the term premium with options, they're almost always talking about the time premium. Well, how much time is left until that option expires? And are options in the money or options out of the money? And these are the questions which will drive you insane on the Theory 7. Because if it's a call option and you bought the strike, you bought the price, you bought the option with a strike price of $50, and the price is actually $45, think. You have the option to buy a stock at $50, it's selling for $54. So is that option worth anything? Yeah, it's $4 in the money. That's the phrase. That's what you're going to see, in the money. But if the price were $47, then the option would be $3 out of the money. Now, that doesn't mean the option's worthless. There's time involved until the option expires. But from a point of view, from the person who owns the option, whether or not they would exercise it, if it's in the money, yes, they would exercise it. In fact, unless you tell them otherwise, at the end of the day, the third Friday of every month, the Options Clearing Corporation will automatically do it for you, unless you say otherwise. Actually, it's gotten more complicated. Now they have not just the third Friday. And I was looking at one. I forget which one I was looking at. And it said, you know, this date. I said, wait a minute. These are all the Fridays in this month. And I called up my boss, the supervisor, and I said, are they selling options now on all Fridays? He goes, yeah. I said, why didn't they tell anybody? They didn't. You know, something like this 50 years ago, a big change. Now they don't even tell the brokers. They don't care. Just do it. And so do you understand the difference between in the money and out of the money? If the option has worth If it were expired, then it's in the money. If it doesn't have any worth, If the option has value, if it were exercised, then it's called in the money. Otherwise, it's called out of money. Yes, Daniel?
And that's $4 because of the dollar you spent?
No. So we're not talking about the price we paid. We're just, forget the price. Just say somebody gave it to us. Forget the price now. Just say we have an option at $50. Maybe we paid $1. Maybe we paid $2. The bottom one is $4 out of the... That's a mistake. It's $3. I got it right here. Thank you for finding that. Okay, I got to fix that. Oh, Jesus. I'm getting old, folks. I'll tell you, I have been making mistakes like crazy. That's slide 23. Wee doggies. I have been making mistakes like crazy. Maybe they should retire me. So he's right. And I got it right over here. I did it right over here. 1 out of 2 ain't bad. So it's $3 out of the money. And when you go look at the options chain... And I noticed that Yahoo does a really bad job of this. And I don't think this is that good either. Can you tell that this is shaded? Can you see the difference? Not very well, is it? Yahoo's even worse. And then, so these are all in the money. All right? Whereas the puts, it's a mirror image. When the stock price is higher than the strike price, then the put is in the money. Think about it. If I own an option to buy at 5:30, I can buy Google at 5:30 and then turn around currently and sell it for 5:43, 44, just like that. I can exercise my option at 530 and then boom, make $23, just like that. Times 100, because remember you control 100 shares. Yes.
So that'd be in the money.
That's in the money. Whereas the put side, it's a mirror. The put side, if I own a put to sell at 560, I can buy the shares at 543, buy 100 shares, and then turn around, bingo, and sell them at 560. Instantly. Are you with me? That's how the transaction gets unwound.
Can you say that one more time?
If I own a put, the put is on this side of the mirror. If I own a put, that is an option to sell. So I own a put at 560. Where'd it go? 560.
Okay.
I can, right now, if it's American style, if it's European, you have to wait until the day it expires. But American style, right now, I can turn around, I can buy that shares, the 100 shares. I have one contract, it's got to be 100 shares. And I can buy 100 shares at 543, and then bingo, turn around instantly, exercise the options. And the seller has to buy them from me. They have to. They signed the contract that they would do that. You understand? Now, would I bother? Not necessarily. I can just turn around and sell my option for $35.60. I can just, times 100. I can just turn around and sell my option. I do not have to exercise the option. I can sell it. Pass it on to somebody else. Make sense? So that's why these are in the money, these are out of the money. And these problems will drive you insane. And do we have time? Let's take a look. Where is this? Okay. Let's do number one. See if you guys like these. Do number one. On the back of the sheet, everybody got one? Who needs a sheet? Ricardo, you got one? Linda Marco? Number one, you think that big and oily malted bars, symbol bomb. Somebody want to read it? Don't everybody jump at once. So the option premium, everybody calls it the option price, is $2. It's selling at $29. But we now have an option we had to pay $200, $2 times 100, to buy one contract to buy it at $30. So the first question is it in the money, out of the money, or at the money? Well, the only time it's at the money is when the strike price and the market price are equal. That's called at the money. Is it in the money? Would I call away something at $29? Yeah?
Yes.
Right. I'd call it away at $29 and turn around and sell it for $30. Is it confusing? Hell yes. You have to really sit and think about it. So is it in the money? Yes, because I now have the option. The market price is $29. I have the option. Wait a minute, I'm getting confused. No, it's out of the money.
Yeah.
It's out of the money. I get confused. I'm getting old. What? I can call away a stock at $30. Would I do it? No, I wouldn't call it away because I could turn around and buy it at $29. I get confused with these things. I passed the Series 7. All right, so what's the next question? The next question is? No, the $2. Forget the $2. When you're looking at the out of the money, you don't even worry about the price. When you're looking at whether it's in the money, out of the money, you don't worry about the price that you had to pay for the option. You just worry about the market price and the stock price. Because the market price is $29. God, these things go. Betsy, ready to catch? Don't catch it? Okay, forget it. Throw it over there. Because these things, they're getting old, like me. Okay, so.
The next one is the break-even point. It's either
30 or 32. We didn't get the break-even point yet. Let me make sure I get this right, because I'm confusing you now. Here's the market price. Would I call away a stock that was selling for $30 if I could buy it for $29? No. So it is out of the money. My apologies. Now, the next question is, what is the break-even point? So forget that for now. Let's go back to the presentation. An in-the-money put option is exactly the opposite. It is a stock that is selling for less than the market price. It's the mirror image. Because I can put that stock to somebody at $50 and it's selling at $46. So I can buy it at $46, turn around, sell it to somebody at $50. Put it to them. Got it?
Can you also say if the strike price is more than the market price out?
In the case of a put, yes. If the strike price is higher, the exercise price, strike price mean the same thing. If that's higher than the market price, then yes, it's in the money. But if it's less than, in the put, it's a mirror image. So the put, if the market price is higher than the strike price, would I bother selling something at 50? It's 52. I could sell for 52. Would I sell to somebody for 50? No, I would not exercise the option. So the in the money, out of money for puts and calls, they just flop. It's like a mirror. Now, what's the break-even point? The break-even point has to do with the fact that I paid $2 for these options. So David was absolutely right. Until it hits 32, I have not broken even yet. Because if it's at 31 and I sell, I only make a buck. But I had to pay $2 to get that privilege. So the break-even point is 32. And these two next slides are going to show that. We have been discussing options as if every dollar above the strike price for call, we make money, and every dollar below the strike price, the option writer loses money. But you have to take into account the fact that you had to pay for the option. So let's say the option price was $10. Immediately, the option seller has made $10 because they get to keep that price. That premium goes into their pocket. Immediately, the buyer is down $10. So after it starts passing the strike price, then the writer, the maker, the seller, starts losing money and the buyer starts making money. And once you've hit the strike price plus the premium, then you start making money, if you're the call buyer. So once we hit 32 here, if we're doing number one, that's our break-even point. Anything above that, we've made money. But don't forget commissions, right? We didn't even discuss commissions. How much do you pay? $12, $10, $39. I don't know. It depends who you go to.
So that 32 is the 60.
Right, exactly. In this case, it's 60. In the number one, it's 32. Do you understand now? Number one? Okay, now ignoring commissions, if the stock price went up to 36, how much would we make? $4 times 100, because every contract is 100 shares. $400 we make minus commissions. You ready to buy and sell options? Yes. That's right. And for number two, it'll be the exact opposite. It will be the strike price minus, because it's a put. Everything is in reverse. So let's not do number two. But let's continue, because I want to get through this. I want to leave enough time for futures, because they're more interesting.
Number three was $4.
3A, 1A, 1-3. Yeah, 1-III.
Yeah.
1-III. I should go ABC. That's dumb. Yeah. You're probably $4, but multiply times 100 because every contract is 100 shares. All right, the next one is the put option, which is exactly the mirror image. You see, are you getting the idea that these things are just mirror images of one another? Theoretically, every dollar below the strike price for a put, the buyer would start making money and the seller would start losing money, but you've got to take into effect that the buyer had to pay the 10, in this case, $10 or whatever it is. And then not until you hit the strike price minus the option price, the option premium, then you'd hit the break even. Then the buyer would start making money and the seller would start losing money. Okay, great questions. Now, time premium. Here's the time premium I confused you with. I apologize. When people use the term premium with options, even though that's what the option price is technically called, when they use the term premium, they're almost always talking about the time premium. How much premium is left? How much time is left? Because the longer the option has to expire, the more it's going to be worth. And we saw that on Tuesday when we took a look at some options. So the amount by which an option price exceeds the options in the money value. It might be $4 in the money, but it might be selling for $5 or $6. That's the time premium. It might be out of the money and still selling. Then it's all time premium. An option that is in the money will sell for more than the amount that is in the money because of the time remaining until the expiration date. An option that is out of the money will still have time value, time premium, because there's still time for the stock to move in your direction. Making sense? No? Good. Stay away from them then. But you got to know these for the Series 7, folks. This is one of the places that people fall down in the Series 7, options. And if you don't like them, you can take the Series 6, which just allows you to sell mutual funds. Can't sell stocks. So they should have one that lets you sell stocks, but not options and margins and shorting. But I guess if they do stocks, then you got to do everything else. And don't forget commissions. In the previous two examples, we did not include the cost of the commissions. A commission is charged whenever an option is bought or sold. Both the buyer and the seller pay a commission. A commission is charged when and if the buyer exercises the option and buys or sells the stock. Again, both the buyer and the seller pay the commission. When you include commissions, it makes it that much harder to make money in options. If you're a broker, wouldn't you just love to have client who gets hooked on options? Wouldn't you like to be the casino? Yeah, indeed, you would. Okay, now speculating. We'll discuss speculating in just a moment when we get in a few moments, we get the futures. If you feel the market of a particular stock is going up, if you anticipate a drop in price within the next 6 months, it is a highly risky, I crossed out the word investment, put a speculative strategy, just put strategy, but it may be suited for the more speculatively inclined. The flaw in these arguments, these are from the book actually, there has never been a successful method to predict stock prices in the short term. You may feel or anticipate that the price will go up and down, and you may be right. I mean, it's going to do three things. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, it's going to stay the same. So you might pick one of three. Flip a coin. It is not investing, it is gambling. Plus, you may be correct, but your option may expire before you're proven correct. So stay away from options. All right, now, we're going to discuss hedging and futures. So I'm going to start just going through these. And straddles is when you buy both a option to put and an option to call. Huh? What the hell? You buy two? And then there are spreads where you buy a call at one price, a call at another price, and Just forget it. Stay away from it. Now, lastly, let's get through employee stock options. Many companies, especially startups, will, as an inducement to get you to work for them, pay you less money because they don't have a whole lot of cash, but they will give you stock options. And that is why we saw the joke at the beginning of the class. Right? What did the CEO say to the slinky woman? She'll do anything he wants. Reprice my options. Because the stock price did not do that well, and so we'd like to reprice his options below the stock price so we can make a ton of money. And you see this. People, you know, some people become instant multimillionaires because their options are worth, you know, they get to buy the stock for a dollar and it's selling for $60. And an option granted to an employee by a company giving the employee the right to buy the shares of stock in the company at a fixed price for a fixed time. They are only call options. There's no options to put. The idea is you want the stock to do well. You want the company to do well. They cannot be sold. They cannot be transferred to somebody else. They are yours. You have to be vested. You have to wait 7 years or so before you can exercise them. And there's usually an expiration date of many years, 10, 15 years. During the tech boom in the late 1990s, and they're still used, but employee stock options were used extensively to attract employees to startup companies because they don't have to pay anything. During the 2000 to 2002 bear market, employee stock options were the subject of much controversy. There is still some fallout and publicity as companies and the SEC continue to wrangle over how and even if they should be used. Currently, companies can give employee stock options to their employees and they don't have to pay anything because you're not giving them anything, understand? Some companies have agreed they will expense the stock options. They will say, okay, we're giving them something. Let's knock our earnings down. But they're really not. They're just saying, here you go. Maybe it'll be worth something in the future, and we'll take an expense for it. How do you come up with a price for something that is currently worthless? To make matters worse, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So employee stock options is like when you go into the company and then you have a certain amount of stocks that they automatically give you every month.
Options. That's something different. They're giving you an option. They're not giving you the stock. Sometimes you get stock. Often companies will allow you to buy stock of the company at usually a 15% discount. Many companies will do this. Now, you can't sell that right away. They'll let you buy a certain amount every month through your payroll, and then you have to wait usually 6 months, a year before you can sell them because they just want people it's called arbitrage. You know, buy it for 85 and sell it for 100 right away. I mean, it's a great way to make 15% of your money right away, but that's not the idea. They want you to, you know, buy into the company. But this is different. They're giving you an option. They're not giving you the stock. And the option may never be worth a thing. To make matters worse, while some people became fabulously wealthy through employee stock options during the internet mania, anybody here, John Moores or Moores or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
Remember him? You owned the Padres for a while? What? You wish you knew him? Yeah, well, he was a jerk. He still is, I guess. You wish he had a dough. He made outrageous amounts of money on a company called Peregrine. And I remember talking with one of the employees saying, look, we can't be worth this much money. You know, we can't. And she was right. Many other people were socked with crippling tax burdens on worthless pieces of paper when their companies collapsed. What? How can that be? Well, the alternative minimum tax, the dreaded alternative minimum tax, does not care if you never, ever, ever exercise the options. You still owe the tax on the paper gain, even if you were never able to realize that gain. Can you imagine getting it? Some people did. After their companies in the 2000 to 2002, when the tech crash came, some people were given tax bills of $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000. And the IRS said, well, look, this is the law. You know, we're just doing what we're supposed to do. And the Congress said, we got to do something about this. But anyway, wait a minute. Did you just ask, how do you come up with a price for something that is currently worthless? Yes, that is correct. Since many employee stock options are out of the money, often by a large amount, or cannot be exercised for a long time, or normally both, how does the company put a price on it? Well, the financial world currently uses a system called the Black-Scholes option pricing model. It may sound impressive, but in my humble opinion, it is very silly. And that is what Chapter 6 is, devoted to the Black-Scholes model, and we are going to ignore it. If you are so inclined, do your best to learn how to do it. Example, the stock is selling for $7.50. The employee has an option to exercise at 10, but it's out of the money, and they can't exercise it for 3 years, and the Black-Scholes model says it's worth $2.50. Huh? You can't sell it. You can't exercise it for 3 years. It's out of the money. How is it worth $2.50? And if the stock price never goes up to $10, you're never going to exercise it, but you still might get hit with the AMT. Sound good? Not in my world. Okay, last one. Options. There are options on indices. Stock index options allow the investor to purchase or sell an option that responds to the entire market, or the Standard & Poor's 500, or the NASDAQ, or the Wilshire 5000. You can hedge, and we'll discuss that term in just a bit, a portfolio by purchasing a put option. So if the market goes down, your put option will go up. But it's still risky, and it's still expensive, so don't do it. There are options on interest rates, currencies. I've never figured this one out. They're called LEAPS, long-term equity anticipation securities. Normally options are 3, 6, 9 months. These things can be 2 or 3 or 4 years, and I don't understand how they get away with it. Warrants are another type of option, but they're not really an option. They're a call. They're a call option, but they're not options. They're warrants. They don't sell like they're not contracts. They don't sell like options, 100 shares. They allow you to buy 1 share of stock for every warrant you have. And they're not that popular. They used to be popular in the 1960s and 70s. When a company would issue new stock or new bonds, they would give the people who bought the new stock or new bonds, they would give them warrants as a sweetener. And then the warrants sold and were traded as, you know, because they're securities. And you might get to exercise your warrant. You might not. They have usually long, they expire in many years. And these are not in very much favor anymore. So very last, what's our final final comment on options? Don't do it. That's a very good. Stay away from them. Good. And go take a look at what Optionetics had to say about their 3-day, only $999, $13,999. And where's option for it? So stay away from them. And now, futures. Okay. All right, who needs chapter 14? I pass this out also. Okay, pass this around.